Prithu's going back home. Text 18. Tansavaguna-vinyasam Jive-maya-mayen-yatat Tanchanushayam-atmastam Asavanushayipuman Jnana-vairagya-viryena Sarupasto-jahat-prabhu Tam sarva-guna-vinyasam Jive-maya-mayen-yadat Jive maya mayen yadat Tanchanushayam atmastam Asavanushayipumat Jnana vairagya viryena Sarupasto jahat prabhu Come unto him. Sarva-guna-vinyasam.
Sarva-guna-vinyasam.
The reservoir of all qualities. Jive. Unto the designations. Maya. Maya. The reservoir of all potencies. Nyatat, placed, tam, that, cha, also, anushayam, designation, atmastam, situated in self-realization. So, he, anushayi, the living entity, puhuman, the enjoyer, gana,
Knowledge.
Vairagya. Renunciation. Viryena. By the prowess of. Sarupastha. Being situated in one's constitutional position. Ajaha. Return home. Prabhu. The controller. Translation. Prithu Maharaj then offered the total designation of the living entity unto the supreme controller of illusory energy. Being released from all the designations by which the living entity became entrapped, he became free by knowledge and renunciation and by the spiritual force of his devotional service. In this way, being situated in his original constitutional position of Krishna consciousness, he gave up this body as a Prabhu, or controller of the senses. Purport. As stated in the Vedas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the source of material energy. Consequently, he is sometimes called Maya Maya, or the Supreme Person, who can create his pastimes through his potency, known as the material energy. The jiva, or the individual living entity, becomes entrapped by the material energy, by the supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, we understand, Isvara Sarva Bhutanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Bhutani Maya. Isvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is situated within the heart of all conditioned souls, and by his supreme will, the living entity or individual soul gets the facility to lord it over material nature in various types of bodies, which are known as yantra, or the moving vehicle offered by the total material energy, maya. Although the individual living entity, jiva, and the Lord are both situated within the material energy, the Lord is directing the movements of the jiva soul by offering him different types of bodies through the material energy. And thus the living entity is wandering throughout the universes in various forms of body and becomes implicated in different situations, partaking of the reactions of fruitive activities. When Prithu Maharaj became spiritually powerful by the enhancement of his spiritual knowledge, jnana, and renunciation of material desires, he became a prabhu, or master of his senses, sometimes called Gosami or Sami. This means that he was no longer controlled by the influence of material energy. When one is strong enough to give up the influence of material energy, he is called Prabhu. In this verse, the word Sarupasta is also very significant. The real identity of the individual soul lies in understanding or attaining the knowledge that he is eternally a servant of Krishna. This understanding is called sarupalabdhi. By culturing devotional service, the devotee gradually comes to understand his actual relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This understanding of one's pure spiritual position is called sarupalabdhi. And when one attains that stage, he can understand how he is related with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a servant or friend or as a parent or conjugal lover. This stage of understanding is called Sarupasta. Prithu Maharaj realized this Sarupa completely, and it will be clear in the later verses that he personally left this world for this body by riding on a chariot sent from Vaikuntha. In this verse, the word Prabhu is also significant. As stated before, when one is completely self-realized and acts according to the position, he can be called Prabhu. The spiritual master is addressed as Prabhupada because he is a completely self-realized soul. The word Pada means position, and Prabhupada indicates that he is given the position of Prabhu, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for he acts on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless one is a Prabhu, or controller of the senses, he cannot act as a spiritual master, who is authorized by the Supreme Prabhu, or Lord Krishna. In his verses praising the spiritual master, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura writes, Saksha Daritaina Samasta Shastraya Uktastata Bhavyata Eva Sadbi. The spiritual master is honored as much as the Supreme Lord, because he is the most confidential servant of the Lord. Thus, Prithu Maharaj can also be called Prabhupada, or as described here in Prabhu. Another question may be raised in this connection. Since Prithu Maharaj was a power incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shakti Avesha Avatar, why did he have to execute the regular principles in order to become a Prabhu? Because he appeared on this earth as an ideal king, and because it is the duty of the king to instruct the citizens in the execution of devotional service, he followed all the regular principles of devotional service in order to teach others. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although Krishna himself taught us how to approach Krishna as a devotee. It is said, apani achari bhakti shikaimu sabhare. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed others in the process of devotional service by setting the example himself through his own personal actions. Similarly, Prithu Maharaj, although a Shakya Vesha avatar incarnation, still behaved exactly as a devotee in order to achieve the position of Prabhu. Furthermore, Srupasta means complete liberation. As it is said, Bhagavatam, Hitanyata Rupam Swarupena Vyavastati. When a living entity abandons the activities of Maya and attains a position from which he can execute devotional service, his state is called Srupasta, or complete liberation. Om Gyanachimanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The empowered incarnation of the Lord, Prithu Maharaj, especially empowered for demonstrating protection, is now about to lead this world, and he's doing it in an exemplary way in terms of his following all the yogic principles for giving up the body while fixing the mind on the Supreme Personality of God. He doesn't have to do this for himself, but for the sake of others. He's demonstrating the whole process of another yuga, advanced yogic practice, all centered on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When you read this chapter, you get a sense of the spiritual technology in place at that particular time of Prithu Maharaj's stay on earth. And certainly you have a right to think that such a practice of mystic yoga is impossible in this day and age. So does that mean that we are totally left out and forsaken? No. The Shastra explains to us that you can get the same result that Prithu obtained by his complex performance of the yoga system. You can get the same result simply by chanting Hare Krishna. The Maha Mantra is available in all yugas. It's just that in the more fortunate yugas, people think that chanting Hare Krishna is too simple. And so therefore they execute, Jiva Goswami explains, a very advanced, complex yoga system for attaining the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Furthermore, that system is the Yuga Dharma for a certain yuga. But chanting Hare Krishna is the prescribed medicine for the age of Kali. That medicine is always present eternally, but there are different prescriptions for different times. By our dedication to chanting Hare Krishna, we get all the best that was made available to devotees undergoing highly complex scientific yoga systems for attaining freedom from material existence and attachment to the Supreme Personality of God. This you can appreciate by the grace of this chapter in Fourth Canto, Maharaj Bhrigu's going back home. What about our going back home? We should not become so absorbed in what's happening with our short lifespan so that we lose track of what our ultimate aim is. Sometimes people say, oh, I can't think that far ahead into the future. What happens after this body? Who knows? Why should I worry about those things? People talk like that as if they have no concern for the future. But their life shows that's not true. We were discussing this point at our weekend retreat this past weekend. Everyone is futuristic except someone completely in the mode of ignorance. Someone completely in an intoxicated, drunken, or drug state, sleeping most of the day. And if you're not like that, then you have future plans. People go to school for their future well-being. They start a family for future companionship, association. You do certain things at the workplace to secure your future. Yet, when it comes to the future, in terms of what happens when your body ends, that's not important. Don't worry about that. So, since we are future-driven in so many aspects of our life, let's be future-driven all the way. What will become of us when the final change of the body, known as death, the final change in this lifetime, when that comes, what is our next destination? Hearing about Prithu leaving this world, returning to his place in Vaikuntha, helps us to focus on our appropriate goal. And we always need to focus and refocus because the nature of this world is forgetfulness. We tend to become covered over because that's the nature of the material energy, to drag things down, to wear things down, to cover things over. Our only protection is repeated hearing of the glories of Krishna. The glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can take encouragement from Prithu's departure. You hear how his wife dealt with his departure. She had accompanied him into the forest for practicing austerities, and then he left his body in yogic meditation, and his wife quickly got over her lamentation so that she could perform the funeral ceremony, burning his body. So you get a sense of detachment by hearing these things. Today we are celebrating the disappearance of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Gadadhara Pandit of the Panchatattva. And we're reading about the disappearance of Maharaj Prithu. This is the nature of this world, that for the conditioned soul is always appearing and disappearing in various bodies, in various networks of bodies. and the liberated souls, the pure devotees of the Lord, also appear and disappear. But they live, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur pointed out, they live in their instructions. Through the instruction of the great devotee, one continues to have the association with the devotee. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, the Vaishnava is still living in sound. The sound vibration of the Vaishnava, just like the sound vibration of Krishna, is not ordinary. It's our connection. That sound is our connection to the spiritual world. So therefore, we celebrate both the appearance and the disappearance of the great devotees of the Lord. Certainly, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur set such an extraordinary example for householders. There was no doubt he was a family man. A dozen or so children. A working man. He had a post in the British colonial government. When he was working for the British in Puri, they put him in charge of making sure all the happenings at the Jagannath temple were orderly. And he took that very seriously. Not simply as a colonial administrator, but as a devotee of the Lord. He cleaned up the whole situation at the Puri temple. His most dramatic event, of course, you know, dealing with a totally corrupt mystic yogi who had actually quite some mystic powers. This yogi was using his mystic powers to create havoc. He was even threatening violent rebellion against the British colonial rule. And he was using his mystic power to corrupt late married ladies, because he had people convinced, even senior village leaders, he had them convinced, I am Mahavishnu. I've come from reclining on the ocean of milk. Bring me all your ladies so I can perform Rasleela. And some village elders, they actually believed him. But then when their wives returned polluted, they were very upset. And so that's why the British put Bhaktivinoda Thakur on the case. Now you may say, well, these village people and even their leaders, they must have been very simple-minded. But you don't understand the mystic power of this person. He was able to cure incurable diseases. Now in India, what to speak of the West, but especially in India, if you can cure incurable diseases, people automatically assume you are Bhagavan, without a doubt. I'm just trying to explain why people were thronging to this mystic yogi. He had powers that you don't see today. People from all over were going to see him to get healed. Sure, why not accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He cured my disease. No one else could do it. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to encounter him, the mystic yogi recited Bhaktivinoda Thakur's whole life. He could read minds. Babu, why have you come to see me? I know who you are. I can make you the next king. You do what I say, everything will work out fine for you. In other words, you don't do what I say, there are going to be problems. And then the mystic yogi demonstrated more of his mystic power by making fire come out of his hairs and fire come out of his eyes. What would you do if you saw such a thing? So yes, the people were foolish, but then again, you have to understand what they were seeing. And the mystic yogi had some assistants, two men. One presented himself as Brahma, the other presented himself as Shiva, and then there's Mahavishnu. And so they had thousands of followers because people were seeing these miracles. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as you know, arrested the person, put him in jail in Puri to stand trial. And thousands of persons were outside the courthouse demonstrating, free the yogi, free the yogi, free the yogi. You know, this is India, you know. How dare you put a sadhu in prison? And a yogi, too. Not only a yogi, but a healer. And while he was in prison, he was causing healing to happen amongst the crowd, persons who had incurable diseases. So that made them even more, you know, free him, free him. He is an incarnation of God. He healed me. Free him, free him. So it was a wild scene. And then the mystic yogi told Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I'm going to attack your own family. Wait and see when you go home what happens. When he goes home, he finds his daughter, one of his daughters, was extremely ill. What would you do if that happened to you? What do you think Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife was saying? What would the ladies here say if your daughter became extremely, deathly ill, and you knew it was because your husband is prosecuting some yogi? The wife told Bhaktivinoda Thakur to stop this. Give up the campaign against this yogi. Look, our daughter, she's dying. And what was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's reply? We can all die, but he stays in prison. This is the kind of grihasta he was. So it's an extraordinary incident. And you can see the lion-like powers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He didn't give in. And finally, after so much drama and commotion, while thousands are outside the courthouse every day, free him, free him, he is God. Finally, the verdict in the court was passed down by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The day that he was supposed to go to court to give the judgment, he was deathly ill. So the yogi was fighting with his powers to the end. And then the verdict was delivered. On the way to being taken to prison from the courthouse, one smart British colonial official had some knowledge of the yoga culture. He had been reading books about yoga. And although he was British and from overseas, he was studying the local knowledge. So he had an idea. I've read in these books about yoga folklore that the mystic yogis store their powers in their hair. So as the mystic yogi was being dragged out of court to prison, this British official snuck up behind him with a big pair of scissors and cut off the yogi's hair. And the yogi collapsed on the ground. All his powers were gone. So later in prison, he took poison and died. And as far as Brahma and Shiva, his two assistants, they quickly confessed, "Oh, he put us up to it. He forced us." The whole scam fell apart. So this is how courageous Bhaktivinoda Thakur was. Today is also the disappearance day of Srila Gadadhar Pandit. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda. He has a very intimate relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Remember when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go from Puri to Vrindavan? He asked permission of all his associates, and they kept putting it off by saying, "Just wait till after the rainy season's over. Just wait for this festival. Just wait for that festival." Finally, Mahaprabhu said, "Look, enough of this, please. Give me your blessings to go to Vrindavan." And devotees knew, we can't pull any more tricks. This is very serious. Gadadhar Pandit, as the Lord was leaving, followed him. Now you might say, well, what's the problem with that? He wants to be with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Gadadhar Pandit had two very solemn vows. Number one, to always, daily, do seva for the Gopinath deity. And number two, he was following the vow of Chaitra Sannyas, in which you live with your wife in a holy tirtha and vow never to leave that tirtha. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that that is the preferred form of vanaprastha for this day and age. Because where are the forests that the vanaprastha couple can go to? During the time of Prithu Maharaj, totally different yuga, the kings would maintain huge tracts of forest just for household or couples to retire in. Wander in the forest, live in a cave, build a hut by the bank of a river. But where are those forests now? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends. The husband and wife retired from family life, live together in the holy dham, and make a vow to not go away. Gadadhar Pandit had those two vows, but he was ready to break them. So he was following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu out of Puri, and Mahaprabhu stopped him. "Oh, wait, don't go any further. You have these two vows." And what was Gadadhar Pandit's response? "As for my Chaitra Sannyas vow, let it go to hell. I'm going with you. You are a holy place." "As far as my vow to serve the Gopinath deity, just by my being with your lotus feet, I do millions of times more service than for Gopinath." Mahaprabhu told him, "I can't take responsibility for this severe breaking of Dharma." In other words, What you're presenting is not just the violation of ordinary ritualistic codes, dharma, karma, external religious duties. No, we're talking about bhakta dharma, the dharma of a devotee, serving a Gopinath deity, residing in a holy place, and those vows are not ordinary. If you break them, the blame will be upon me. I can't support such disobedience. What was Gadadhar Pandit's response? I'm not going with you. I just happen to be apparently in this walking in the same direction. In other words, you're doing your thing, I'm doing my thing. We may wind up at the same place, but that's just a coincidence, you know? You're going to Bengal on your way to Vrindavan, and I'm also happen to be going that way. So you just go on walking, I go on walking. Finally, when they got to the river to cross, Mahaprabhu told him, okay, you've already done it. You've broken, you're on the verge of breaking your vows. I can't allow this to go on anymore. You please turn around, go back. Gadadhara Pandit collapsed on the ground. Lord Chaitanya told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you please revive him, take care of him. And Lord Chaitanya continued on his way. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya picked Gadadhara Pandit off the ground and told him, this is the way the Leela is. These are the ways the pastime happens. As you know, Mahaprabhu never made it to Vrindavan on that trip. Sanatan Goswami advised him when he met Sanatan Goswami advised him that one shouldn't go to Vrindavan with big crowds, because everyone wanted to go to Vrindavan with Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu returned to Puri to try to go to Vrindavan in the future in a much more solitary way, not taking anyone with him. The devotees were so happy when he returned. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them, I couldn't go to Vrindavan surrounded by so many people, but the main reason I returned was because Gadadhar Pandit was unhappy. Of course, Gadadhar Pandit was happy to hear that, but he told Lord Chaitanya, there's no need for you to travel to Vrindavan. Wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. That is the Yamuna River. That is the Ganges. Wherever you are. Still, you want to go to Vrindavan to demonstrate the proper example for the ordinary persons, that they should visit the holy town. But there's actually no need for you to do that. You are the walking Vrindavan. So he requested Lord Chaitanya, please just stay a certain amount of time and then we will all truly let you go to Vrindavan without any impediments. So this loving relationship between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit is very special. And certainly the gift that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us is very special. Because of what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has done, the foundation that he has provided, we have such a solid understanding of bhakti. Because after the disappearance of Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, there was kind of a dark age for bhakti. There are so many sahajiyas, charlatans, fakers. The authentic knowledge of bhakti and its application had practically been lost. So much so that when people in Bengal, when respectable people in Bengal would hear about bhakti before the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they would just laugh. Oh, it's for the debauchees, it's for the low-class people who in the name of religious sentiment do many sinful activities. They all thought that. We can't imagine what it was like. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur resurrected the intellectual foundations of bhakti and gave the ability for discriminating between what is shadow bhakti and what is the real thing. By his efforts, he practically single-handedly did that, paving the way for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. So in reading about the disappearance of Prithu Maharaj and hearing about the disappearance of Gadadhar Pandit and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we can see clearly Krishna's program for rescuing us from the depths of illusion. It's ongoing. Sometimes there seem to be dark periods, but sooner or later the sun comes out again. And in this way, Krishna shows his eternal care for his parts and parcels. All right, any questions?
Yeah.
May I ask a question?
Please.
When we, in our conditioned life, when we hear about death, it inspires fear and dread in us. But when we hear about the disappearance of Prithu Maharaj and Gadadhar Pandit, it inspires a different mood in us. What can we learn from the passing away of the Vaishnavas in our own generation? Srila Prabhupada is a great example. But the Vaishnavas passing away from day to day. What can we learn from them?
What we can learn is what Srila Prabhupada told us, using himself as an example, using his departure as an example. He said, don't think this won't happen to you. So we can be sure, whether we are 7 years old or 77 years old, we have an appointment with giving up this body. So we want to act in such a way that our bodily attachment decreases. We don't want to act in such a way that we increase the disease of thinking I am this body. Because that only makes our giving up the body even harder. So we want to be careful not to engage in activities that intensify bodily attachment. Because that only makes things worse in the long run. And we want to use this temporary human body to engage in as much service to Krishna as we can, according to the style of our ashram. We may have many family responsibilities now, But we should always be making plans how to have sufficient devotional service now in our life, and how we can increase that service as our family dependents become older. So we should always keep our eye on cultivating devotional service. Our goal is not to believe in Krishna. Our goal is to engage in Krishna's service. Yes.
Now you spoke about this pastime of Krishna Maharaj living and also discussing about Bhaktivinoda Thakur and whether the Pandit's disappearance and leaving the bodies. And my question is, when we are in our youth or when we are young age, it's very hard to relate to leaving the body or getting old.
For you, you already had some accidents, right?
Yeah, but leaving the body altogether or getting old. How are we supposed to then? How can we really understand this past tense relationship?
By repeated hearing, the message starts to sink in. Just like this past weekend at our retreat program, we were hearing Vidura's instructions to Dhritarashtra. So I was wondering, the persons at the retreat were all in their 20s or 30s, early 30s, and here they are listening to Vidura chastise Dhritarashtra. Your teeth are falling out, your liver is defective, time is devouring you, get out now! I was wondering, how are they going to take this? Because when you're young, you think, oh, I have so much time. So the phenomenon that I explained to them was, this weekend, was that everyone makes excuses about when they will become serious about bhakti. When you're young, you say, oh, when I'm in my 60s, 70s, then that is the time for spiritual dedication. And when you're in your 60s and 70s, what do you say? Oh, this is something to be done when you're younger. So we're always making excuses. So why not just stop the excuses now? That's Prahlad Maharaj's injunction. Komara acharit pragya dharma bhagavatanaha. From the very beginning of life, or from at least the date that you understand the necessity, engage in devotional service. There's no time better than now. So by constantly hearing that, you become filled with wisdom. That is bhakti mysticism. By hearing, you actually experience. If you hear repeatedly Vidura's instructions to Dhritarashtra, you actually gain experience. Through the ear, that's the intelligent way to learn. Through the ear. It is not a deficient way to learn. Oh, unless I experience old age, how can I take it seriously? No. You hear Srimad Bhagavatam. It goes into your ear and fills you with experience. This is how non-material knowledge works. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary presence of Krishna. One last question. Yes.
Maharaj, as you discussed already, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is called, we have plenty of time today, we are half fasting, half day fasting.
No, but I have to catch a plane.
In brief, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is called Gaura Shakti. So, do you want to tell us something, how we call it Gaura Shakti?
By his activities is the energy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he left the whole world for Srila Prabhupada and his followers to assist him by spreading Lord Chaitanya's mercy all over the world. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur covered all of India. Something like 64 mandirs. And then he sent Srila Prabhupada outside of India. And Srila Prabhupada is employing us to assist him in developing Lord Chaitanya's mission all over the world. In this way, we get an opportunity to get some credit. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.